The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 2nd through Sunday, June 8th, 2025. The commentary for June was written by Sarah Shipman, an Episcopal priest, attorney, and director of Episcopal Migration Ministries. She lives with her husband, two kids, two dogs, and a cat in Kansas. She collects hobbies and loves to read. The commentary for Monday, June 2nd, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 57b. I will follow you wherever you go. It seems easy to say that we will follow Jesus wherever he leads, but today's passage reminds us that the road is not always easy. We may find ourselves in uncomfortable places and situations. Pressing obligations at home or work may call our attention away from Jesus. We may hear exactly what God is calling us to do, but choose not to listen for a whole host of reasons, good reasons even. This was true for me for months, perhaps years, as God gently at first and again called me to ordained ministry in a way I could not ignore. Listening to and following Jesus are choices we make every day in every encounter with others and at every opportunity to do the right thing. And sometimes it is so hard. But Jesus has already chosen us and always chooses us. Thankfully, as the psalmist reminds us in today's reading, God's love is established forever, and God's faithfulness is set firmly in the heavens, and that makes it easier to follow wherever Jesus leads us. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage for this day, from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to them, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 2nd, is where is Jesus leading you and what is stopping you from following? The commentary for Tuesday, June 3rd, continues from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 8 through 9. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." Here's the commentary. Welcoming others does indeed bring the kingdom of God nearer. I think of the ministry of hospitality offered by Episcopal Migration Ministries, ecumenical partners in Murray, Kentucky, as they prepared to welcome a refugee family of five from Colombia to their community. Their work as an EMM, Remote Placement Community Partner, included offering support services like assistance enrolling the children in school, applying for Social Security cards, and providing short-term housing and basic necessities for the family. Imagine their surprise when, on the family's first day in their new community, they invited members of the partner churches to stay for a birthday party in their new home, and even sent them home with plates of food. So often when we set out to serve others, we find ourselves blessed. And now I'm going to read from the passage of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, what do you know about Episcopal Migration Ministries? You can spend some time learning about the organization's work on their website at episcopalmigrationministries.org. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, June 4th, the day on which we commemorate John the 23rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 23. "Then, turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, 'Blessed are the eyes that see what you see.'" On a summer afternoon in Tennessee, I gathered with ministry partners to celebrate our ecumenical and secular work serving migrants, and specifically those in the LGBTQ+ community. We exchanged stories and information and then came together afterward for worship. The service was joyous and spirit-filled. In that moment, I was reminded that all the love we share for this community came to us first from God. We are serving as God's ministers in the world, much like the 70 Jesus appointed in this passage from Luke to go on ahead and proclaim to all, "The kingdom of God has come near you." When the 70 return triumphant, Jesus gives thanks for their work and gently reminds them that the power they use to serve others comes to them through Him. He has revealed to them the love of God. I continue to be blessed every day as I walk in the power of the Spirit to serve the world. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, June 4th, how are you working to reveal the kingdom of God? Now we turn to the commentary for Thursday, June 5th, the day on which we commemorate St. Boniface. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 28. "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Irish poet and theologian Padre O'Twama flipped this passage on end for me. In his book, In the Shelter, O'Twama asks us to consider the perspective of the injured man who receives help from the Samaritan, whom he was taught to despise. Did the injured feel shame accepting help from a sworn enemy? Did he consider himself unclean after the encounter? Did others treat him differently? In biblical times and today, accepting love and grace is much harder than it should be. We question the motives of the giver. We prefer to be self-sufficient. We don't want to put anybody out, especially the person we feel has wronged us in some real or perceived way. And yet Jesus tells us that we will be saved in loving our neighbor. This directive also means allowing our neighbor to love us, accepting the gift offered, even when we have been taught to despise the giver. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. "Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, What is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. And the moving forward question for this day, do you find it easier to give than to receive? How can you practice being a gracious recipient of God's love, even from those you might not like? The commentary for Friday, June 6th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 41 and 42a. Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Going into my third year of seminary studies, I had an opportunity to go on a silent retreat, and I had plans. I needed to complete a mountain of reading to prepare for the semester. I was weeks behind in journaling, and I had decided that what I really needed to do to be on top of work and school and my everyday activities was to color code my planner. I packed books, colored pens, and a variety of stickers I was sure would help me organize. I had a reading plan laid out. It was going to be perfect, and I was going to be so productive. And then the Benedictine monk leading the retreat reminded us why we were there. To just be with ourselves and with God. Feeling slightly called out, I pushed aside all my plans and went for a walk in the woods. Like Martha, I was worried and distracted and in the need of only one thing. Suddenly, I came upon a small clearing, and there I sat and prayed. I found myself again, and more importantly, I found Jesus. And now I'm going to read from the passage of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And the moving forward question for this Friday, when you are distracted by many things, what brings you back to the one thing you need? The commentary for Saturday, June 7th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12a. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, he entered once for all into the holy place. There are places that just feel holy. For some, majestic cathedrals are holy places. For others, thin places close to God are found on the side of a mountain or where the sand meets the sea. For still others, the side of a hospital bed or a table shared with friends is a sacred space. In this passage from Hebrews, we are reminded that God promised to do a new thing and enter into a new covenant. People were used to finding God only in the tent or temple, a place constructed by humans to house the presence of God. In this understanding, God's presence was located in one place, and only a very few could enter into the presence of the Holy of Holies. Through Christ, the kingdom of God has come to us. We are in the presence of the sacred each day and in every place we go, making all places holy. And now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and earthly sanctuary. For a tent was constructed, the first one in which were the lampstand, the table, and the bread of the presence. This is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a tent called the Holy of Holies. In it stood the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which there were a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak now in detail. Such preparations having been made, the priests go continually into the first tent to carry out their ritual duties. But only the high priest goes into the second, and he but once a year, and not without taking the blood that he offers for himself and for the sins committed unintentionally by the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the sanctuary has not yet been disclosed as long as the first tent is still standing. This is a symbol of the present time, during which gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various baptisms, regulations for the body imposed until the time comes to set things right. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer sanctifies those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worshiping the living God? And the moving forward question for this Saturday, what places are particularly holy to you? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to Sunday, June 8th, the day of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Acts 2, verse 4. all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The smiles, tears, and laughter of refugees and other forced migrants are universal. Even if we do not share the same language, we recognize and often can identify the emotion being conveyed in a look or gesture. However, hearing what is being said and genuinely understanding is vital for communication to continue. It is no wonder the first gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was the gift of language. Many of us are blessed to be surrounded by a multitude of languages. On that first Pentecost, all present received a glimpse of what heaven must be, understanding one another and God's deeds of power. In my work with migrant people, I have had the opportunity to sit in on language classes, watching people from across the world come together to teach and learn one another's language as they begin a new life in community is a vital step toward creating the world we all want to share in, where we are amazed and astonished by one another and the gifts of the Spirit. And now I'll read from the book of Acts, chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus 1, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The ascension of Jesus. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And the moving forward question for this day, what steps can you take to truly hear others? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.